Good to have you here. We're beginning a new series that's going to carry us through Easter and beyond about, we're just calling it Q&A, considering some questions commonly asked about God. And today, I'm going to deal specifically with this, you don't feel it. What happens when you don't feel it? And then next week, I'm going to talk about God not being fair. That's where so many people live. And then no answer. What is this? And how about this one then? Use me? Those are things we're going to talk about. We're going to look to God's unchanging word to sort through some of those things. Now, I may be speaking to some in this room, online, wherever you may be. You could say, well, Pastor, I definitely don't feel God in my life right now. That feels a big word nowadays. Others may say something like this. I've never sensed God in my life. I often hear this. This is probably the biggest one I hear. Why don't I always sense and feel the presence of God in my life? I hear that. A lot, and I want to address that. So if you don't feel the presence of the Lord today, for example, when you gather, because worshiping is not about us, it's all about Him. I mean, where does the blame lie? Where's the responsibility lie? I'm just asking, is it your fault because you weren't really prepared, anticipating, ready, prayed up, and you're just kind of zoning out? Or maybe it's God's fault. I mean, you think He's only going to show His presence to a favored few, and maybe that doesn't include you. Or that worship pastor and team, if they just pick the right songs that I know and love, then I could really worship. Whatever. Others go, well, how do I know that I've genuinely experienced the presence of God and worship? Well, I have warm sensations. Or I have this certain emotion. Or I cried, so I knew that God was near. Now, God can do all that and more. Agreed? But He's not limited by any of those things. He can do whatever He wants, whenever He chooses. And sometimes it's hard to know whether it's God or not. But I want to tell you, regardless of how you feel today, He's here and He's working and He wants to touch your heart. If you don't always feel and sense God, the presence of God, you are not alone. Welcome to the human race. You can know and be assured of the love of God, but you're not always going to feel God at every single waking moment. Listen to the psalmist. He blazes the trail for this. Psalm 88:13. Oh, Lord, I cry out to you. I mean, that's like a wail. It's not like a whimper. It's cry out to you. I will keep on pleading day by day. Oh, Lord, why do you reject me? Why do you turn your face away from me? Some of you feel that way. Why do you turn your face from me? Those are normal human emotions. In other words, I'll summarize it again, that verse. Oh, Lord, those verses. Oh, Lord, why can't I always feel you near? That's a question that's on the hearts and minds of many these days. And so let's look to God's word. And I want to look at some biblical reasons, I believe, or some possibilities. You may not fit in one of these, but I think they'll stimulate thinking of why the case may be. So why is it that you don't always feel God? Okay, the first one I'll just address, I'll just call it the wow factor. The wow factor. I heard somebody say, you've heard this definition, what's the definition of insanity? Keep doing the same thing, expecting a different result. But I think it's crazy to think, do the same thing and expect God to do the same thing. He does things any way He chooses whenever he sees fit. Do you understand that? In other words, we don't just cross our T's and dot our I's and then God's going to perform for us. Listen to this in John 6:30. They answered, there was a dialogue going on with Jesus. Show us a miraculous sign if you want us to believe in you. If you want us to believe, you got to do something big. What can you do? So I want you to follow. These people challenged the Lord. They wanted a wow factor. You know, show us what you can do. And still, many of us, we're not satisfied, and we never are, even if God does some big, amazing thing before us. They wanted a massive sign from God, and they wanted it right now. God, we pray, if you're real, if you're here, make this happen, do this or do that, and we think we can command God by our desires. So these people were asking Jesus, the Son of God, they were asking Him, first of all, what do you want from us? And Jesus, I'm paraphrasing, He responded this way. I just want you to believe in me. How many of you know that's still true? They said, okay then, show us some miraculous sign. What can and will you do for us? You perform and we'll believe. How many of you know that's our culture, that's our world right now? That is not a life of faith It's contrary to it. When you need something big from God, is that really an exercise of faith? Think about it. I read my Bible regularly, and I find that God did all kinds of big things for the children of Israel, and how'd that work out? Their belief was shallow. It didn't last because it didn't lead to lifelong obedience. And however you experience God, whatever he did in ways big or small, what's going to be important is a long obedience in the same direction. God does speak in many ways. I'm not limiting him, far be it from me. Especially through his word, and we'll talk about that in a little while. The question is not, is God speaking? Is he really listening here? The question is, are we listening? Yeah. Obedience to the word have to follow the emotion of any moment in order for it to last. God may speak to you through a message, or maybe he has, delivered by a pastor. So many great things out there online as well, and so many great inspiring things. And he may speak to you through a special song, the music and lyrics that just touch your heart. Now, here's what I want you to think about. Will you respond to what you hear? To God's presence, to him touching your heart. When God clearly speaks to your heart and your spirit by whatever means, what more do you need? Do you need yet another sign? Another sign? Another sign? Do you really need the finger of God to write some personal message to you in the sky? He's already given you a personal message through his word. And it's, I love you, and I want you to love me back. I gave my son for you. Now I know that God can do whatever he chooses, whenever he chooses, that he knows best. But I'm finding that most often, it's not what we desire or expect, but how do you know it's always what we need? I never cease to be amazed by God. That word is overused, but not when it comes to Almighty God. Here's an example. We've experienced that, those of you that have lost someone that you love in recent times, immediate family, extended family. And it was so true in our home with mom there in that basement room where we had her and dad stay for so long. And I want to tell you, the reality of God often comes in the form of unmistakable peace that is beyond human understanding. And that only happens when people are at that point in life and they know and love and trust God. Have you ever been in a position where you've experienced God's peace? I mean, it doesn't make sense, but it's real as anything. It's like a garment that you could wear. A peace that is so powerful and real can't be explained, but it can't be explained away because you've sensed it. All right, am I alone up here? Oh, the peace of God. Okay, so the wow factor. I mean, God is just one big wow anyway. But a lot of times it's in that small, still voice. It's just the reality of his presence. That's what we need. It's just the reality of his presence, his nearness. The second thing is, I think a biggie in our culture coming up is that we're so distracted. It's not that God isn't present, isn't near. It's just that we're not giving him our undivided attention because we're so fragmented, running here and there and here and there. And we've used these verses for sermons, I'm sure, but in Luke 10, 38 through 40, and that's when Jesus was visiting his friends. And you remember, Martha was there to welcome him, and she was the hostess with the mostest. But Mary, her sister, sat there listening. And then Martha got upset, and it says definitively of her in verse 40, but Martha was distracted by the big dinner she's preparing. Aren't you thankful? There's nothing wrong with big dinners. I mean, gifts, God's good, and good food comes from the Lord, that's for sure. But she missed his presence. She missed precious moments in his presence by her busyness. And oh my, so do we. I call it the Martha syndrome. We're so busy doing God's work that we forget that the biggest thing that drives us to do the work and to serve God and others is by being with him. That's how we get filled up. That's how we have the strength and energy to do what we need to do. And Martha, she missed unforgettable moments in his presence. I'm just here to remind you that all the doing in the world never trumps the power of his presence personally in our lives. Never. I would say because of the distraction level and of our culture that's on us, we suffer from acute spiritual attention deficit disorder. Agreed? And I'm not making light of that in another sense, but it's true. There's a spiritual deficit disorder. I laugh when I think about this, and I'm not pointing to anybody, but I've seen examples where someone or someones are so busy recording, capturing, and posting events, they don't even get to enjoy them. They have to relive them later by looking at the pictures and the selfies that they took. You know who you are. Like Martha of old, Jesus was there in her home, but she still missed out precious moments with him. Wow. He was right there. Right there, but she missed moments. Well, the third thing is this, a hard heart. Hearts don't harden overnight. And I'm not talking about a physical hardening of the arteries or something like that. I'm just talking about a gradual takeover in the priorities of our heart and life. Because that happens when, over time, the presence of God in our lives is not constantly cultivated and tended. Life happens, years unfold, and hearts just grow cold, the big drift is on, temporary things crowd him out. Come on, we give our lives to so many things that are so temporary that aren't going to matter for eternity. And we need to be careful about that. In Matthew chapter 13, he speaks, and I'm skimming here, verse 14, when he says that that when you hear, you won't understand. When you see, you won't comprehend. And then in verse 15, it says, listen, for the hearts of these people are hardened. I don't know of people that go, I think I'll harden my heart today. It's not like a willful decision. It just happens over time by carelessness. And their ears cannot hear, and they have closed their eyes, so their eyes cannot see, and their ears cannot hear, and their hearts cannot understand. They cannot turn to me and let me heal them. Now, these are verses are kind of glum, and ones I'll read in a moment, but this is a diagnosis. There's a cure. Okay? There's a cure, and we're going to talk about that. But is your heart hardened? Are you going to do something about it? What will it take? There may be a time in your life when you're really close to God. Just let me give you some scenarios here real quickly. But something happened that began to turn your heart away. You know, I'm talking just just gradually that pull away. Maybe God didn't do what you thought he really should do when you wanted him to and you asked him to. And quite frankly, you're upset deep down. You may not want to admit it. How about this one? You felt like God prompted you to do something, take some specific step of faith, and you did, but it didn't work out well, especially the way you thought it was going to work out, and you're no longer sure that if you understand God, if he's really present, if he's really speaking, and you don't even know if you can trust him anymore. Oh, but here's the biggest one that I see. I've been doing this a few years. At one time, you were so close to God. You were enjoying him, his presence. You were serving him and serving others. Then a professing Christian, a pastor, did something to hurt you or even disillusioned you. The church, whoever that is, whatever that is, hurt you and let you down, and you've never gotten over it. And you have a problem with God because of the misrepresentation of him. Go figure. You know what I just said? You realize that? Why would we have an attitude toward God about things that don't even represent him? Never gotten over it. A calloused and hardened heart will create distance and insensitivity to the presence and voice of God for sure. But I'm telling you again, those of you that are the most lit up the most often spiritually, you're going to still feel at times when you feel alone, when you don't feel and sense God's presence. There's going to be a greater sense at times of others. Welcome to the human race. That's just the way it is. All right, I'm hurrying. Oh, here's a big one. We don't want to necessarily think about this or admit this and talk about it in front of God and everybody, but it's a fact. If there's sin in your life, it creates walls and destroys intimacy in a relationship. One block, one brick, one stone at a time. And then we wonder why we don't sense God. How many of you know that sinful choices repel a holy God? Does he quit loving you? Absolutely not. Listen to what Isaiah 59 says. Listen. The Lord's arm is not too weak to save you, nor is his ear too deaf to hear you call. Now, don't forget that when we read the rest. Verse 2, it's your sins that have cut you off from God. Because of your sins, he has turned away. He will not listen anymore. That's a temporary condition. That's a diagnosis. There is a cure. I'll say it again. But make no mistake about it, our culture wants to dumb down sin and say it no longer exists. We define it, whatever. No. Sin repels a holy God. And when we have deliberate sin, willful sin in our hearts and lives, it stiff arms him and creates distance. You may go to church regularly, you may be religious or whatever that means, but that does not make you a child of God. A child of God doesn't happen just because you're created by him and he makes all things. It's when you embrace what he's done on the cross through Jesus and you receive it and you apply it to your life, that makes you a child of God. You're not a child of God until you in your own way say yes to Jesus and no to sin. No to my life of selfishness. A huge difference between head knowledge and heart relationship. Jesus taught on that in John 7:28 when he said, me summarizing, yes, you know me and where I come from. I'm not here on my own. The one who sent me is true, and you don't know him. What a shame if we think knowing about him is enough to get us into heaven. It's not. You have to know him. You have to know him. You've got to know him. You know what I hear often? I hear something like this. Pastor, I'm a Christian. I just don't live like it. I'm a follower of Jesus. I'm just not following him. I don't get that, do you? I want to say it again. Sin always creates distance and separation from God. He doesn't move away from you. You move away from him. And then typically we blame him for the lousy relationship. But I'll say it again, he never stops loving you and pursuing you. Don't get depressed when you read these scriptures. Let there be conviction, but it's not to be mistaken for condemnation because his love is pursuing you. He wants you to wake up. If you continue to say, I'm a follower of Jesus, I'm a Christian, and you live in unrepentant sin, it is presumption against the grace and mercy of God. For sure, to say the least. Let me illustrate it this way, to say if you're married and if you choose to continually sin against God and your spouse by verbal, emotional, or physical abuse or whatever, you know, you haven't left but you've forsaken the relationship, you're building a wall of sin and the relationship will quickly erode. Would you agree with that in a marriage? And it may do so to the point of separation and divorce. We can understand that in the physical and in human relationships, but I want to tell you there's a danger with Almighty God as well. The scriptures say, I've turned away. In other words, you need to deal with it. The wall has to tear down that wall, someone said. It's the wall of sin. I just thought about it, that the things that come to mind. Agreed? Maybe you're not feeling God in this season because you're not confessing, repenting, and turning from your sin. That'll separate you from a holy God. And then finally, and I jumped ahead, but I want to come back to it. The final one is this. The sad tragedy is that many of you just don't know God. You've never come into a relationship with him. And sadly, you think all the religious things we do and the going and being busy, but no. And that's where Jesus said, you don't know him. You know me, but I represent him. So I want to ask you, do you really know God personally through a love relationship with him? Do you? Not did you, but do you right now? You're not always going to feel the presence or sense God in the same way in every season of life. But you must exercise faith and keep believing and keep obeying. This kind of trusting faith is pleasing to God. Trusting him when you don't see it, when you don't understand it. I've often been saying lately, our lack of understanding of God, do not minimize him, it magnifies him, because we can't fit all of God into our finite minds. Do you understand that? Our minds are too small. Too small. And I've been wondering about this, and you just wrestle with this. If you could always feel him in the same way, would you even need to walk in faith? I don't use faith and feelings in the same sentence, do you? Well, let's close with some presence. Not as in Christmas, but as in the presence with the seed we've been talking about. Some presence promises of God. I want this message to be an encouragement to build your faith and trust and to help you sort through life. in the presence and availability of the living God who sacrificed everything. And that's why we're celebrating Holy Week and remembering his great love for you. So three things. First of all, seek and find. Don't ever confuse that with hide and seek, a game. God's not hiding out from you. We've got the Adam and Eve syndrome. God didn't hide from them. They hid from him. We hide from him and then blame it on him. Are you with me? But God came looking for him. He said, where are you? Where are you? And they had to answer. They had to answer. But you got to seek him with all your heart. Jeremiah 29 speaks to it. If you look for me wholeheartedly, I love that, with passion, you will find me. I will be found by you, says the Lord. Hey, he wants to reveal himself to you. He wants that more than you do. God loves to reveal himself to you. He sent Jesus to show you what he's like. He wants you to know him. And then after he ascended to the Father, after his resurrection, he sent Jesus, yes. But then he sent the Holy Spirit, who's going to not just be with us, but in us. So it's not a part-time, on and off thing. No, it's a surrendered way of life that begins in your heart. He wants to reveal himself in you. Say, Pastor, well, okay, that sounds good, but this is kind of mysterious and kind of spooky. How do I seek God? Well, I just want to give you three practical ways in this sub-point. One of the best ways in the starting point is to keep getting God's word in you, in you, in you, in you. I don't care if you think you're getting out of it or not. I don't care if you don't feel it or not. You just keep putting it in, because how many of you know it's living and active? That means it's working. You may think it's dormant, but it's living and active, and it'll work in you and through you in ways you could never know. God speaks through his word. That's the primary way that keeps us on track and aligned with him. He speaks through his word. His word is in you. And I keep telling you, don't get into his word. Get his word in you. There's a difference. It's just like getting it in you, and then it goes everywhere. You can selectively get in his word, but when you put it in, it's just all through your system. I tell you, I use the YouVersion app every day. Literally, I seldom miss a day in different ways. I read and I listen along. I whatever, and I highly recommend it. Another best practice, and you see those badges we wear, is to pray continually. Pray now. I love that. I love that because that's a continuous, ever-present now. It's like right now. I love that this morning we have a place now, a station for Pray Now in the foyer, and a couple was there manning that, and they prayed for me this morning, and then someone was coming in requesting prayer, but I led them over there and said they'd love to pray with you. I mean, pray now is a present tense. That's the thing to do. That's how we fuel that relationship with Almighty God. Talk to him as you would a friend. Listen to him. Listen to him as you would a friend. Tell him how much you love him, and tell him how you're feeling, and ask for his guidance. Talk to him about your day. Tell him how you feel about you. He knows anyway, but it's good for you to tell it. Pray now is another word for pray always. And you know what one of my favorite is, and it includes the first two, but I've got to say personally, one of my favorite ways to connect with God is through worship, and that would be through music especially. As I create playlists that fit different times and seasons of my life, I talked about that. To fill your heart and mind with wonderful songs that are God exalting. They're so easy to access. There's no excuse for it. Make playlists you can go to whenever you need to. Oh, when I was growing up, Christian music and worship regularly filled our homes and our hearts, and I'm so thankful for that. Make that a normal part of your life. Tune in to his heart through worship. Fill those empty places and spaces with the power of God's presence that comes in so many ways. These become spirit-directed acts of worship, if you will. When I was growing up, we had a thing in our home, teens, called radios. Do you know what a radio is? I'm not talking about something you'd even tune in your car. I mean, we had radios in the house. We had a refrigerator, and on top of that was a black and silver radio with an antenna. You know what an antenna is? This long thing you have to hold on to, move around to get reception. And then we had a stereo, a piece of furniture in the living room. That was a button on back. We'd hit it, WCRF would come up at 6 a.m. or whatever, go off at night. And that still had to have an antenna, but it wasn't like an area. It was like some kind of long cord. Plastic stuff that you spread out all over the place to get reception. You know what I'm talking about? Okay. All right. My point is this. We had to get the antenna on and up if we desired to pick up a broadcast signal. How many of you know that's true in a spiritual sense?
A part of seeking God, when you say yes to him, is getting your antenna up and tuning in to his wavelength, his frequency. This is your part. Whatever and whenever you need to receive from God, comfort, peace, joy, hope, you get your antenna up and you just keep it up even in the storms. You got one, if you know him, are you using it? That's a way then, secondly, of doing life in God's presence, with God's presence. Living in the present full time. God is with me. He is in me through the person and the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a way of life. Jesus promised in John 14, he said, I'll ask the Father and he will give you another advocate, capital A, who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads you into all truth. Man, how many know in our culture, we need the Holy Spirit in us to lead us and guide us into all truth. Our culture isn't doing that. We've got to have the Holy Spirit. But you don't know him because he lives in you. And now and later, he will be in you. That's the promise. And living with him in you, it boils down to this. Living life with the Father is what I refer to as John 12, 28 all the time. Where you live this way in this moment. Father, bring glory to your name. That changes every circumstance, every relationship. I have one heart's desire. That'll attract his attention, I'll tell you. Father, I want you to be glorified in my attitudes, in my action, whatever the case may be. Wow. Maybe when you witness the reality of a beautiful morning like we've had, I don't know what's doing out there now, but or a wonderful sunset on our west side, may you just point in praise and say, oh God, you're beautiful. All day long, you just share anything and everything with him. He's tuned into you. You're doing life in his presence. And finally, experience God right now. Acts 17, 24 says it so well. I love this passage in these next verses. He is the God. A God of love. He is the God who made the world and everything in it. Since he is Lord of heaven and earth, he doesn't live in man-made temples, and human hands can't serve his needs, for he has no needs. He himself gives life and breath to everything and satisfies every need. That's why we need to draw near and stay near. That's why we need to constantly seek him. He is not far away, it says in verse 27. He is not far away from any one of us. His purpose was for nations to seek after God. What a powerful, powerful truth. God is relational. He wants a relationship with you. He loves you. He wants you to love him back. Is that too much to ask? Hey, is that too much to ask? I want to say it again. I was reading a book by Mark Batterson when I was away. Someone gave me. And he was talking about being at the National Prayer Breakfast. And the keynote speaker was Eric Metaxas. I think that's how you say his name. And evidently, he had a background of waywardness. I don't know if he's agnostic or atheist, whatever. But he said, here's what I found. I finally came to this conclusion. God is love. And I was rejecting God for who God wasn't and who God isn't. Does that make sense? Because he said, to know God is to love God. And that's a problem. A lot of you don't love him because you don't really know him. So you're blaming him for all these things that people and humans do. But what's not to love about a loving God? It's just that we don't understand it. And he doesn't fit in our box. He's so much bigger, but he is so majestic. To know God is to love God. It's impossible to know him and not love him. His love is overwhelming. And so we want to worship him, and we want to end that way today. It doesn't really matter what you may be feeling today. God's presence is here. He's available. He says, seek me, you'll find me. He wants to feel your heart of love and devotion. He wants you to love him back. The Father's heart longs for your praise, adoration, and worship, and your obedience. Are you giving it? Why would you withhold it from the God who's given you all that is? I've said this and prayed this over and over. When it comes to worship, he deserves it. He desires it. And the thing that confounds me is that he delights in it. That's what he longs for. So this morning, in this closing, these closing minutes, your worship is not about you. It's all about him. It's not about how you feel. Worship him by choice right now, no matter how you may be feeling. It's the way all the way through where you are, and it's the way out of where you are. I was thinking about this week, the significance of it. I wonder what Jesus was feeling, don't you? We have some insight into that because we know what he was feeling in the garden. We know what he was feeling on the cross. I mean, it was raw pain and suffering. I would say he wasn't feeling it, but he'd made a commitment and he poured out his life as a sacrifice anyway. And that's why we're here today and we can testify of his great love. So face and deal with anything on that list or anything that the Holy Spirit has prompted you about that may be creating a wall or distance from you and God, that may be hardening your heart, whatever. Seek him, find him, enjoy him, and make this declaration with me, would you? Would you make it with us? I will worship you with all of my heart. No matter how you feel today, you may be at the highest or the lowest point. Make this declaration, stand and say, I will worship you with all of my heart. So let's put words and music to it. Joel, you're bringing me a mic. Nate, you're striking up the band. And I want you to stand if you can. Join us online as well. And let's just declare this. Come ahead. Let's declare this.